It's good to see so many today gathered here today. It's been a while since I've seen a group like this. Brethren, we are here today to be a part of what God's desire is. And we know that His desire is to bring His family to fruition. We are far past the promised land that Joshua brought God's people into, as we heard Ron speak about last week. We are on the verge of going over the Jordan, so to speak. And we are on the doorsteps of going into a new age, where the first part of God's desire will be fulfilled. The 144,000 will be here to begin God's new age, the millennium. And just as Joshua led the people into the promised land, Joshua the Christ, God's son, will be here to usher us into the real promised land. And there's a lot of work for 1,100 years to get us into what God promises to those that choose His way of life. So those of us that have been called, we have to fight self so that we can enter what God's desire is for those that He has called to become part of His family, Elohim. And Joshua the Christ will lead us into the promises of the great God of this universe. We know that Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land of his day. But we know that he will be here this time to help lead those during 1,100 years into the real promised land of God. God uses physical examples to teach us about the spiritual plan of God. And like I said, Joshua the Christ will lead, and the 144,000 will help, which Moses, as we know, and Joshua also will be a part of those 144,000 spirit beings. God's Spirit is what will lead us into the promises of God and for the rest of mankind that will choose God's way of life. God has a pattern, just as Solomon had a pattern to build God's physical temple. So God has a pattern, a plan, to build His spiritual temple. And Joshua the Christ was the first of the first fruits of God's plan. We are preparing for God's desire. So today we will look at what God's desire is. So that will be your title today, God's Desire. We know that God desires a family. And we understand that He is creating His family. So it will be good to go back and see what God says about His creation of His family and how and what He desires to do with that family that He is creating. And it is about God's spiritual creation. And God has made a way for mankind to become a spirit being, no longer confined to this physical flesh. And those of us in God's church understand that what we are in this flesh. We've had so many sermons about what we are. And we understand this, and we understand our battles. But we understand also that this flesh is part of God's plan. And the Apostle Paul describes it so well in God's book about this flesh. Paul understood about the desires of this flesh, that this flesh is pulled by its selfish desires. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Therefore, we find ourselves battling against self to overcome those desires of the flesh and live the way of life that God has set apart for you and me. So Paul had understanding about this physical life that we all find ourselves in. And Paul said that it was about the mind of man, the desires of the mind to serve their God. And Paul said that it was his flesh that pulled him toward those lusts of man. So those of us in God's church understand that we are trapped in this flesh at this time. But God has made a way for you and me to overcome and become in His family. He made a way through the sacrifice of His own Son so that you and me could be forgiven of our sins. Sins caused mainly by the pulls of this flesh. So Paul gave us understanding about the human mind. And he said it was his desire to serve his God. And he understood that he had to live a certain way of life before his God. The very life that the way to live was revealed to him by Joshua the Christ. So we all understand that we have to live that way of life that God has revealed to you and me, those of us in God's church. We understand that we are just selfish by nature. That's just the way we are. That's the way we were created. And we have been given understanding about this selfishness and the pride that you and me have to overcome. And it is a battle that ensues after God calls you and gives you His Spirit. And after God gives His Spirit to us, we now have to follow. We have to make decisions. We have to follow God's instructions about how we are to become in His family, His spiritual creation. And hopefully that is everyone's desire that is here today. And all of us should be striving to live the way of life that God has set forth for us. But like I said, we are selfish by nature, by the way we were created. And we don't focus much on what God's desire is. We know what our desires are. But what is God's desire? What does God want to do for you and me? We will look at the scriptures that tell us about what God's desire is today. So let's turn over to the book of Psalms and let's look at what God inspired David to write in his book. Psalms chapter 132 and verse 13. Psalms 132, verse 13. And put a marker here as we'll come back to the Psalms. God said that David was a man after his own heart. And we can see that David focused on God a lot by what he wrote in God's book. God gave us the Psalms that David was inspired to write. And God lets you and me learn much about him through what David wrote in God's book. But we don't focus much about God and his desires because we are so selfish in this flesh. And it's mainly about us and our desires most of the time. It's not about focusing on what God desires. Psalms 132 and verse 13. We will take a look at what God's Word says and what God desires in the future and for now. And it's about His dwelling place. God said through David, "For the eternal, Yahweh, has chosen Zion." He's desired it. And let's notice what's being said. For His habitation, His dwelling place. And He says, "This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And this is what God says His desire is, to have a family to dwell in, His spiritual creation. God Almighty, Yahweh Elohim, has eternally existed. And He is the self-existing one that we read about in this book, God's book. And God says that there was no other God besides Him. We know and understand that God created a place for the angels to exist in. And we know that those angels were created out of spirit. And we understand through God's apostle that they did not have access to God's spirit, and that was for a reason. And it was because of how God was going to create His family, His spiritual creation. God gave us, His church, understanding about those angels and about human beings and how they were both created with free choice. And that was for a purpose, for what God was going to build. He was going to build His family. So God gave both of those freedom to choose. God's church is given understanding about God's way to live life. And we have to do it the way that God says to do it. There's no other way. And that's the only way that God's family can be created. And it's done through obedience to the way that God says it has to be done. And it says, Paul said, it's much about the mind that God gives His Holy Spirit to. And when this is done, it requires obedience. Once one has God's Spirit, requires obedience to the laws of God. those laws that God gave you and me to produce the right way to live before Him. Paul said that it was his mind that he served his God. And Paul said this after he had received God's Holy Spirit. And Paul wrote about this human mind. And Paul wrote about how God would use that human mind to build his family. So we came to understand, like I said, through God's church, God's apostle, that God created evil for a purpose. It was for man, to create man. And God gave understanding through his apostle that evil is created when a choice to live a different way of life takes place. And when any being, spirit being or physical being, chooses a different way to live than the way that God says in this book to live, evil is then created. That's what takes place. And it takes place right here first. That's where it takes place. So this gives us understanding about the spirit world that is there. Gives us understanding about Satan and what he did. How he rebelled and he chose another way other than God's way of life. And a third of the angelic beings went with him and chose that way also. So we understand that God's plan is ongoing. We understand Satan's fate. And we understand that Satan will be dealt with at the end. We understand that God is a creating God, and he is still creating. He is creating his family. And that is his desire at this time, to bring to fruition the first stage of creating his family. So we've come to understand why the angels and the human beings were created without God's Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, so that God could create his family, that spiritual creation. And like I said, it takes place in the mind of human beings once God calls them and gives his Holy Spirit to them. God is bringing his family Elohim into existence. That's what he's doing. It's what he's doing at this very time. And that, by the scriptures, tells us that is his desire, to create that family and then dwell in that creation, his spiritual creation. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66, and we'll look at verse 1. And let's notice what else was written. We understand that God used Isaiah and inspired Isaiah to write about this very subject. And Isaiah gives this about God. And after reading through this, we can understand why we can never understand the magnitude of our God, not with this human mind. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. Thus says the Eternal, heaven is his throne, and earth is his footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. But to this man or woman will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. In other words, what this is saying, it's about fear to disobey their God. That's a better way of saying it. And the last part of this tells you how God will begin to create his family, what has to take place in the mind before God can work with a person. And it is, as the Apostle Paul said, it's about the mind and the desire to obey their God. And it takes obedience. And as these scriptures tell us, it takes a humble spirit. That's what it will take from you and me to be in God's family, part of his family. This physical body is just the vehicle by which God teaches those that he calls to obey. And that is why Paul said it the way that he did. And he said with his mind he serves his God. And that is what Paul desired to do, to serve his God through obedience to God's way of life, to bring his flesh into obedience to take the mind and not partake of those lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To bring the flesh into subjection to the mind. We have to be brought to a point where we will listen to God. That's what has to take place in our lives. And we have to be humbled. God says that we have to be of a poor and contrite spirit so that we can be part of that spiritual creation. So we cannot be lifted up with pride. And we've had so many sermons about pride. And we understand that we have to be humbled to listen to the great God of this universe so that we can have our minds to be brought into subjection and learn to think a different way of life. Think differently. God asked the question, where is the place of His rest? And we understand that God desires what He desires to do for an eternity. That He desires to dwell in His spiritual creation, His family. So let's turn over to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. And we'll start in verse 44. And let's see what was written. All these examples in God's book are there for you and me at this time to teach how God through time explains how He used physical examples to explain about His spiritual creation. We just had sermons about God leading the Israelites. And God used those physical examples so that those of us at the end of an age can, through God's apostles, see the spiritual applications of what God is doing. And just as Joshua led the people during that time, Joshua the Christ will lead during the millennium and the 100 years thereafter to finish God's desire. God's desire is to now bring to fruition the first phase of His creation. So let's read what God inspired to be written. God's Word tells us, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and He had appointed, speaking to Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the land possessed by the Gentiles. And that's the way I think the New King James says it. Whom God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David. And in verse 46, who found favor before God. So this tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. And David found favor with his Creator. And David desires to build a house for his God, to build a tabernacle for God. Verse 47 shows us what it's about. It's about a place for God to dwell in. Verse 47 tells us Solomon built in that house. And we know the story about how David was not allowed to build his temple. And the rest says, let's notice what is said. However, the Most High does not dwell in temples. So here God makes it plain that He does not dwell in temples made with hands, human hands. Remember that God had it written that heaven was His throne and the earth was His footstool. So this is said this way to let you and me know how massive our God is and that we can never in this physical body understand this. And when we look through that Hubble telescope at the magnificence of what God has created, just on that physical realm, not speaking about the spiritual at this time, just looking through that, at that physical creation, just staggers my mind. And He said that heaven was His throne and the earth was His footstool. Just looking at it physically. And He is the great God of the whole universe. And He is a creating God. And He created that angelic realm and everything that is out there. That spiritual realm that God created for those angels to exist in. And we cannot comprehend such a thing at this time. But let's notice what was said. What house, better said, what dwelling place will you build me? Or what is the place of my rest the questions that are being asked. Has not my hands made all these things? We understand the answer to these questions. We understand that God is building a spiritual creation, a spiritual temple, and that temple is God's family. We understand this, and we understand that God is creating His temple to dwell in, and it is the place of His rest, a place in which all that will be in the God family eventually will rest. Peace, finally, forever, for in eternity. And that is the real promised land. And I hope everyone here understands what you have been offered. Eternal life with peace forever. Peace in God's family. To become a son of God. A time of rest for all that will be there with no more pain. No more suffering. No more drama. Just peace forever. That is God's desire for you and me, and for all that want to be in His family, to have peace for an eternity. So let's go back to the Psalms, chapter 132, and let's look at verse 8. Hopefully everyone kept their place. 132 in verse 8, it says, "Arise, O eternal, into your rest, you in the ark of your strength." This is not written very well. So when we see this word ark, it's not talking about the Ark of the Covenant. And this is not a good understanding of what is being said. This word means the gathering. That's what it means. And it says, "Arise, O eternal, into your rest and the gathering of your strength." That's a better way of saying this. So this tells us that God is gaining His strength. And He's gaining it together. And we understand how. And it says the Apostle Paul said, it begins in the mind when someone is called by God and received God's Holy Spirit. God wrote His laws upon those tablets of stone. And those tablets of stone, those commandments, requires obedience from the God, from those that God calls and gives His Spirit to. And that's actually where it starts, through obedience from the ones that God calls. And Christ, when He came, expounded upon those laws that was given a long time ago and revealed that it was a spiritual law that was to always dwell in our minds forever. Those laws are to stay there forever. And that is why Paul said it was with his mind that he served his God. So you and me to be a part of what God is building, His spiritual creation, we have to always examine self. And we have to repent when we find sin. And with where we are in time, repentance must take place quickly. And we do sin over and over. And we have forgiveness when repentance takes place. And this is the process that God uses to build His family, His spiritual creation. And you and me have to repent and accept the payment that was paid for you and me. Christ made it possible by what He did, by giving His life, His physical life upon this earth. And His blood was spilt to the ground for you and me, and for all that will be there and want this way of life. And it's for those that will choose the way that we are to live, that says the great God of this universe. But God does give us free choice. And God has revealed to you and me how He is building His spiritual creation. So when we really understand the price that was paid, the price of dying upon that stake, a horrible, horrible death, so that you and me could have our sins forgiven. So we don't think about that very much and very often until we find ourselves deep in sin. And usually then, it's all about us. It's usually, woe is me. We don't really think about what it does to the great God of this universe and His Son. But God gives us a way to live. And if we live by those things that God gives to you and me, we begin to understand God's plan for His church. And we begin to understand what God's desire really is, to have a family. And we know that Christ is the first of the first fruits of God's creation of His family. We know where He is today. He is at the right hand of His Father, getting ready to return to this earth, to gather together the first fruits of God, of God's spiritual creation. And this paints you and me a picture of how God is gaining strength through that first creation of His family. And this first creation of God's family is done by those that God called to be the first. And it is by being obedient to the laws of God and living the way that God says that we are to live. So God tells us about His desire, and God tells us how He is building His family. So God reveals to His church what He will do. And so He had it written through David. And David wrote. So let's read the correct way that this should be written or read. Verse 8, "Arise, O Eternal, into your rest, you and the gathering of your strength." That is better said. So now we can see through what is written that this is prophetic about what God's desire really is. God desires that family that is being created through His Holy Spirit, those that God chooses to be in His family, that spiritual temple that He is creating. That is God's desire. And God tells us that His desire is to dwell in that spiritual temple that will be created. God said He would finish His creation. And we know that when God says something, it will be done. And it would be a shame not to enter what God has offered you and me, to miss out on what God is creating, to give up such an awesome calling. But we know that many have done so. God says He is going to dwell in that temple. And it's said in many different ways in God's book. But we understand about the many ways that God says it. He calls it His temple. He calls it His family. He calls it the Lamb's wife. He calls it the bride, and so many other names. And we'll look at some of those as we go through this today. But we know how God is creating His family through that Holy Spirit that God has given to you and me. And we understand through that Spirit that God has given to you and me. We understand through that Spirit that is in this mind how God is going to build His creation. And we understand how it takes place. And now we have to have a mind that can change. A mind that now can begin to become obedient to God and His way of life after we receive that Holy Spirit. Obedience has to take place. A mind can then become to be at one with the great God of this universe. A mind, once called and receives God's Spirit, can now begin to understand about God's plan to create His family. And like I said, the mind then has to make choices once you're called. And the mind has to choose the correct way to live life. And you can choose God or not choose God. God gave you and me free choice. And we've seen so many make the wrong choices. We've seen this happen over and over. The wrong choice. Even after some have been begotten of God's Spirit, they have come and they have gone. And all of us have seen this take place. Some choose to not obey their God, and they leave. And that's hard for you and me to understand, how someone would give up such an awesome calling. But it happens, and we see it happen over and over. But for you and me, those of us that are here today, I hope you understand it's a blessing to understand what the great God of this universe will do, that He will finally dwell in each and every member of His family. And they will dwell in Him finally, for in eternity. And we understand that this will be accomplished through that Holy Spirit that you have in your mind. A creating God is creating His family. And we hear at every Passover how God abides, dwells in, lives in the life of a person that has received God's Holy Spirit. We understand that it is through that power of that Holy Spirit that helps to change the way that the mind will now think, to think differently. Not to partake of those lusts of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. To focus on God's laws. And we have understanding about those pulls of the flesh and the pride that has so enslaved human beings. But God gives you and me knowledge of these things. And God tells you and me not to partake of those things. But as we know, it's been the downfall of so many, those lusts that are in man, that so reach out and just grab you. And we know that that sin cuts you off from God when it takes place. We know that God will not take part with sin. We understand that God made a way to deal with sin when we sin and we repent. We understand that we have to now repent quickly for where we are in time. We can have what God says in this book of Revelation, eternal life without sin, without pain, without suffering. And that is what God is building. His creation with spirit life. He is building His family to dwell in for in eternity. Without those things that I talked about. No more pain. No more suffering. No more drama. Just peace for in eternity. And after the whole family of God is created, then we'll have God in the family and the family in God forever. That's what will actually take place at the end. And finally, peace will be here. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 17. And let's see what Paul wrote. Ephesians 2 and verse 17. Then came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them who were near. For through him, talking about Joshua the Christ, we both, talking about Jew and Gentile, have access through or by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We understand how God worked with some down through time, the apostles and prophets. And it says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household, talking about the family of God. And it's better said here, begotten, just begotten through God's Spirit. And it paints you and me a beautiful picture of God's plan. And it says in verse 20, are being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Joshua Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So let's notice what is said next. In whom all the building being joined together, and it's talking about building, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So it's building principles that God uses. And God is building His family. So here God explains how it will be done. God explains to you and me how His spiritual creation will take place, how it will be built. In whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God, a dwelling place for God. Through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and through the power of the great God of this universe to create His family, which will be His resting place forever when it's all said and done. Let's go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and let's look at the things that Joshua Christ taught on the very last night of His physical life upon this earth. John chapter 14. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he said, in my Father's house are, better said, it's many places of dwelling. It's better said. It's not mansions as the Protestant and Catholic world teaches. It's places of dwelling. And he said, if it was not so, I would have told you so. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I go to prepare a place for you. I will come. So this is present progressive. That's actually what it is. And it's better said as I am coming on a continual basis. And we'll see much about this a little later on. And it says, and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? So this is what Christ said. He told them how it had to be built. God's dwelling place. God's spiritual creation. And let's notice what Christ told them in verse 6. Christ said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father except through me. That is the only way. If you had known me, let's notice what Christ said, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. So this is some words that Christ was really explaining to them what was taking place. We know that they had never seen God the Father. And we know that at that time that they did not understand what Christ was telling them. We understand it was later, after they received God's Holy Spirit, that they began to understand what Christ had told them when he was physically here upon this earth. And Philip said to them, show us the Father and that'll satisfy us. And Christ said to him, have I been so long a time with you and yet you have not known me? So that's the question that Christ asked. And Christ said, let's notice, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how do you say, show us the Father? We know that they didn't understand these words at that time. But that is what you and me have come to understand, those words that Christ had asked them. And he said, believe you that I am in the Father and the Father in me. So let's notice what Christ is telling them, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. We know after they received the Holy Spirit, they understood these words. The words, Christ said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Christ said that those were not his words that he was speaking. They were the words of his Father that dwelt in him. That's whose words they were. And he said, God the Father did the work. So let's pay attention to what he told them. Just what we read earlier. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. In verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. We know that this is talking about help that would come from God, talking about the Holy Spirit, that it may abide with us, let's notice, forever. Verse 17. We see what it's talking about. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive. So we see and understand what is being said. Because it sees it not, neither knows it, but you know it, for it dwells with you and it shall be with you. That's why you understand what you understand, because of what we read about today, because of what's in your mind, God's Holy Spirit. And now you can see the truth. You can now understand the truth through that Spirit that is in your mind, that God gave to each and every one of us that he has called. We can now see what God's desire is, not only our desire. We can actually see what God is doing. And now our minds have been opened to understand the very truths that come from God. And we have the ability now to know the truth, as long as you don't cut that Holy Spirit off in your mind. And you can do that by not repenting when you sin. That's how you can lose that Holy Spirit. It can be cut off at this time. Verse 18, Christ said, I will not leave you comfortless. I am coming to you. And after Christ died, and after Christ was resurrected, we know that he told them to stay in Jerusalem until the day of Pentecost. We understand about that account that took place. And we understand that they received God's Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And understanding was given to them at that time to understand what had actually taken place. And now they can look back when Christ was alive upon this earth. And now the mind was opened to the understanding of what they had actually lived with him while he was upon this earth. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me. And he said, because I live, you will live also. Yet that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So sometimes we just read through these scriptures, and we don't actually grasp everything that is being said. And this is one of the most important things that was ever revealed. Joshua Christ died so that he could live in you and me to create God's desire for a family. And if he hadn't died for our sins, it wouldn't be possible for you and me to be in his family today. But it's in God's will that he live in us and we live in him so that we can make those changes in our lives, so that we can think differently with this mind and become in his family that he is creating. And Christ is actually telling them a lot about God's plan. And it says in verse 20, at that day. So it's about the day of Pentecost for them, when they received the Holy Spirit and when they had hands laid upon them. But for you and me, it's the day that we were baptized and we had hands laid upon us. That's the day for you and me. And Judas said this, dropping down, this not being Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest, you will show yourself to us and not unto the world? How can we see you and the world cannot see you? Christ said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. Let's notice. My Father will love him, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. Let's notice. We'll come unto him and make our abode. It's the same word that was translated as mansions. And it means a place of dwelling. That's what it means. And it's about him dwelling in you and me. It's not about the mansions in the sky that we hear the Catholics and the Protestants world teach about. And he said, he who loves me not, let's notice, keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but it's from his Father. And these things I have spoken to you, yet being present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, let's notice, it will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. And that was true for the disciples of their day. They could go back now and remember what Christ had told them. And now they could understand because of that Holy Spirit that they had received. And that's actually what happens to you and me when we receive God's Spirit, when we are baptized and receive that Spirit in our mind. Now we can go back and read these scriptures, and we can listen to sermons, and now we can understand the words in God's book, and we can understand the words through the sermons that are given. And it's a wonderful thing when God's words come alive, when you can read God's words and understand them. And I know everyone in this room has experienced this very thing. And that's why you and me have the fellowship that we have, because of that Spirit that is in your mind. because these words in this book come alive for you and me. And we understand the truths of God. And we understand, we begin to understand what God is doing, what God is building. So let's go to John chapter 15. We read this on every Passover night. But there is so much said in this very chapter. And that's one of the reasons why we read it at every Passover. Because it gives us so much understanding about how God is building His family. John 15 and verse 1, let's notice. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. That's the example that is given to you and me, like a grapevine. And it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. And He told them, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. And He said, abide. We know that this means to dwell in, to live in, to continue, to remain in Him. That's what it means, and I in you. A lot saying in that very verse. And it's just as we've been discussing, Joshua Christ makes it clear to you and me. And these are the examples that are given of how we are to live our lives. So these are some awesome words that Christ had to say. And let's notice, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides, unless it dwells, unless it lives in the vine, neither can you unless you abide. In other words, dwell in, remain in, and continue in me. That's what He said. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides, in other words, he who dwells in, he who continues on in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, let's notice, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's the only way, brethren. So Christ makes it plain how it has to take place. And He says, without him, you can do nothing. Verse 6, but if anyone does not continue, in other words, does not abide in Christ, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And let's notice, they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. You and me understand what these words are speaking about. Speaking about a lake of fire at the end. And that's where they will end up. And that's where we can end up with unrepentant sins. We could end up in that lake of fire. Christ said, if you abide, if you continue, if you dwell in Him, He says, my words will continue in you, and you will ask what you desire. And the emphasis here is not really on our human desires. It's about God's will for you and me to produce fruit in our lives. That's the context of what's being said. It's about a way to live our lives. And we have to live this way of life so that we can be in God's creation. So Christ has given the truth to you and me, what it takes to be in His family, in the family of God. So that's the context of what's being said in these verses that the Protestant world and others have so twisted. But that's what it's really about. And He said, by this my Father is glorified. In other words, when we live the way of life that God says to live, that's how God is glorified. And let's notice, that you bear much fruit. That's what it's about once God calls you, so that you can be His disciples. As the Father loved me, Christ said, I also have loved you. Abide, continue in His love. So when we do that, we know that we have to sacrifice in God's church a lot through our lives. It's a lot about sacrificing. And we start keeping those commandments. We start to learn a lot about what this way of life entails. And it says, if you will keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as He had kept His Father's commandments and continued in His love. And Christ said, these things I have spoken to you that my joy might remain. In other words, continue and dwell in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. So we can see that this is much about relationships with one another. And we have to sacrifice and not always put self ahead of those sacrifices for sake of the relationships of God's people, for all of us to be in His family and to be there with God's Son. So Christ is teaching us what it will take to be in the family of God. So it is much about sacrifices that have to be made by you and me so that we can live the way of life that God says we are to live. Christ said, greater love has no one than to lay down one's life for his friends. So we know that he gave the ultimate sacrifice by giving his physical life for you and me, and for the whole world, for those that want this way of life, when we understand God's plan. And he said, let's notice, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. So we understand what he's saying. I have called you friends. For all things that I heard of my Father, I have made known to you. God had a plan from the beginning. God had a plan to bring his family into existence. And it said in so many ways in God's book, it said as Zion, said as Holy Jerusalem, said as Holy Mountain. It says as Israel, the bride of Christ, so many different ways. But God uses one of the names as Israel. And that name, very name, means to prevail with God. That's what it means. And everyone that will be part of God's family, we understand that it is not about the physical Israel that Joshua and Moses was dealing with. It's not about that. It's about a spiritual creation that God is creating. And it's about God's desire to dwell in his creation. So let's turn over to Revelation, the book of Revelation. Revelation 21, and we'll start in verse 2. This tells us a lot about God's desire and how it will take place. These things are spiritual, and it's about a spiritual creation. The creation of God's family. That's what it's about. We know in verse 1 that God talks about making everything new. And he will. But verse 2 focuses on what we are discussing about God's creation. And here we will see some of the different names that God uses for his creation. Just like we spoke about earlier. And it says, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God from heaven prepared as a bride for her husband. So we can see three names that God uses here for his creation. And he said, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, let's notice, the tabernacle of God is with men. So we can see this is talking about the first resurrection when Joshua Christ would return to this earth to set up the kingdom of God. And now we understand that 144,000 have been resurrected. And they are the first of God's family to become spirit beings. And now God's desire to dwell in them is fulfilled. And that first part of his family is now created. So now we can understand how God's strength will be brought about. Remember we read about how God would be gaining strength. There will now be 144,000 spirit beings upon this earth with God dwelling in them in spirit bodies upon this earth. And it's just as Daniel said a long, long time ago when that stone struck the image. And then it began to fill the whole earth. And that paints you and me a picture of what will now take place upon this earth. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. So this is the first phase for those to enter God's family, God's spiritual creation. And now they are spirit beings. And he will dwell with them, talking about those, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So this paints us a beautiful picture of the first phase of God's creation. We understand now that truth will be taught upon this earth. To begin, what Daniel taught about, when the truth will now begin to encompass this whole earth. And it will do so through the millennium and through the 100-year period of time until it's all complete. Now at the end, everyone that has chosen God's way of life can now become in the God family, become part of God's creation. And let's notice what takes place. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. No more crying. And neither will there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And remember in verse 1, God said he would make everything new. This is that time. A new beginning. And he who sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." It's what God says. And now this is that time. All the evil will now be gone. And we cannot comprehend such a time when there is no more evil upon this earth. But it paints you and me a beautiful, beautiful picture of God's plan when it is all said and done. It's talking about atonement. And I love that day because of what it pictures in God's plan. Because it means at one with the great God of this universe and his Son. That's what it means. It paints us a beautiful picture. It's hard for you and me to comprehend such a time when we can be at one with our God. But God said it would take place. And what God says, it does take place. God says that he will make all things new. And that's what it's talking about. The real promised land that is before you and me. When God's plan is complete. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega." So it's done in the mind of God. And when God says it, it will take place. It's just as good as done. And you and me are living the book of Revelation. That's where we are in time. We're living those things that Daniel wanted to know about. And there were so many of God's people down through time that wanted to know what you know today. You have so much knowledge, brother, of God's plan. They wanted to know the end of it all. They wanted to know what you know. But God told Daniel to shut the book, to seal it up. It was not for his time, but it is for your time. And I hope you understand what you've been called to, what you've been offered. To see the most awesome events that will ever take place upon the face of this earth. And it has been given to you. God's end time church. The end time church at the end of an age. With an apostle. To lead God's church into the millennium. Into the return of God's Son to this earth. That's the time you live in. But it's through that Holy Spirit that is in your mind that you can understand these things. No one in the world can understand what we're talking about today, but you can. It says, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end." So let's notice what is written. "I will give unto him who is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So sometimes we just read through these. And we don't grasp what is actually being said. But it's an awesome thing to understand that all life, spirit life, physical life, any life is all of it is sustained by the great God of this universe. All of it. But this tells us that it is the great God of this universe that will give that water of life freely, spirit life forever, to those that choose this way of life. Verse 9, then came to me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come here and I will show you the bride. So we see God's creation called the bride, and we see it called the Lamb's wife. We understand that it's talking about the 144,000, that first phase of God's creation. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city. Let's notice, Holy Jerusalem. So we see other names for what God's creation is. Descending out of heaven from God. So this is telling you and me about the beginning of God's government upon this earth. The beginning of the kingdom of God upon this earth. And the beginning of the temple of God upon this earth. And it is descending out of heaven from God. Having the glory of God. And we understand that God's desire is fulfilled in that first part, his creation of his family. And they are the 144,000. And let's continue. Her light was like unto a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. So this is how God is describing it in his book. In verse 21, it talks about the 12 gates and 12 pearls. And every single gate was as one pearl. And the street of the city was as pure gold. So what this is doing is painting you and me a beautiful, beautiful picture of what God will bring into being. And he uses this description because of how beautiful it is for mankind. It's a spiritual creation. And it says, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. For the Lord God Almighty is its sanctuary, its temple, of it and the Lamb. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine. So we can see this is not about physical things. It's about spiritual things. And it says, for the glory of God does light it, and the Lamb, let's notice, is the light thereof. And the one that is there at that time is our high priest. The one that died a horrible, horrible death upon that stake. He is the one that is our Savior. He is the one now that is our King. We understand that he became the Passover to make all of this possible for you and me to become part of what God is creating. And we can see through the picture that is painted for you and me and why everything is about Joshua the Christ. And it's from about Joshua the Christ from the beginning of time. God had a plan from the beginning to bring everything that we're talking about today into fruition. And all of it will be created through Joshua the Christ, the one that became our Passover. And it says, the city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God does light it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved will walk in the light of it, and the gates of the way in, the way to the city of peace, will be open. And there will be, like Daniel said, that stone that struck that image. And then God's truth will go around this earth. And it will take place. And the gates of it will not be shut at all by day. For there will be no night there. And they will bring their glory and honor of the nations into it. And there will no way enter anything that defiles. Nothing that works evil. No more evil when it's all said and done. And it's a beautiful thing when evil will not be present anymore. When everyone will be at one with their God, the great God of this universe and his Son. Atonement, finally, at one with God. Only those, let's notice, only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be there. And it paints us a beautiful picture of God's plan. when it all comes to fruition. And I hope you grasp what God has offered you to be a part of this, to be a part of this creation, to become part of God's desire. God desires to give all of this to you. But once we're called, we find ourselves in a spiritual war at this time that the Apostle Paul told you and me about. It's not over yet. We find ourselves in the battle of our life for our life. And the battle is between these two ears that Paul talked about. It's not over yet. I wished it was, but it's not over yet. It's hard to comprehend sometimes that we are in a great war. We have to fight this fight, and we have to do it the way that God says we are to do it. And we have to do it how God says, how God desires it to take place. So let's go over to John chapter 1. We know these scriptures so well. But let's go back and look at some of what is said in God's book. John chapter 1 and verse 1. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Logos," talking about the revelatory thought, "was unto God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning unto God," and we've had so many sermons about this very thing. "So it's unto God and not unto any other. And the Word was only unto God, it was His." Verse 3, "All things were made by Him, and without Him," speaking about the Word, knowing that it is the very mind and the very being of God that is being spoken about. Everything that God is, He did it. But it's talking here of the Word. "And without Him was nothing, was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life," let's notice, "was the light unto men." The light, the Word, things that come from God and no other source. So this is speaking about God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." But you do. You comprehend it. And that light is something that you see in your mind, through that Spirit that was given to your mind. And it's in your mind that you can see all these truths of God. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." And it's only when God opens your mind that you come out of that darkness and you can see the truths of God. And that's the only time you would ever have the ability to see the light, so to speak. And then these scriptures come alive and you can understand what is being said, Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. Christ said in John chapter 8, you don't have to turn there. You can keep your place here in John. I will just read this quickly. Christ spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world." So when Christ says this, we can see that everything starts with Him. And it starts also with the forgiveness of sin. That's where it starts, with Christ. Joshua Christ became our Passover, so that all of our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be in God's creation of His spiritual family. And He said, "He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And you do. We come out of that darkness. God gives you and me understanding. And He has lighted our path, so to speak, of the right way to live our lives. So let's go back to verse 3 of John 1 and see, it said, "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the life unto men." For mankind is a better way of saying it. "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it." It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And we know that story. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him, talking about Joshua the Christ, might believe. And he was not that light, talking about John, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That's better said. The true light. The one that lightens our path of the way to live our life and every man who comes into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through him, not by him, but through him. That's how it will be created, through God's plan, through Joshua the Christ. And he came unto his own and his own received him not. So it's telling us the story. But as many as received him, to them he gave power, let's notice, to become the sons of God. The sons of God. It's what God is offering you, to become the very sons of God. So let's see. God's plan for his family began with Joshua Christ, as we could see. And everything must be through him. And we understand these things, that he was that word that was made flesh and he was God's son. The only one born of mankind who had the Holy Spirit given to him without measure. There was nothing hidden from Joshua the Christ. Whatever he needed, it was there through God's Spirit that he had without measure. That's the power that was actually given to him. And we cannot comprehend that very thing, how much power that was given to him. Said he had the power to call down legions of angels, but he didn't. He obeyed his God and became our Passover. So the creation of God's family began with him. And he was the first to be born into God's family. And he's the first to go through the entire process that we have been talking about today. And now he is awaiting the next phase of God's plan. Waiting for the time to return to this earth with the first fruits. The first to become Elohim, to set up God's kingdom upon this earth. And to set up God's government upon this earth. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 11. And let's look at what else Christ spoke about. Matthew 11, and we'll start in verse 25. He said, I thank you, Lord God of heaven and earth. So let's notice what he's saying. He says, you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes, to you and me. And he has chosen to call you at the end of this age to learn. That's the analogy that is given. To learn as a child learns what God's will is, what God's desire is for you. To understand about his plan, to understand what he is creating. To understand what is ahead for this earth. To understand that there is a new age coming, a new beginning, when God says that he will create everything new. All things have, he said, all things have been delivered to me by his Father. And no one knows the Son but the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Father wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's not very far away now. For the first fruits of God. God says he has hidden these things from this world. And we know that they are sitting in darkness and don't even know it. But you understand what is about to take place upon this earth. They are sitting in the shadow of death and they have no idea what is about to take place. They think that they can make it all go away. They think they can fix it. They think they can handle it. God says that he's hidden these things from the world. And we understand why they think this way. But to you and me, he has given the mysteries of the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And we understand the plan of God. And that kingdom is not now far away. And the millennium is not that far away. And we are on a countdown when Joshua the Christ will set his feet upon the Mount of Olives. Verse 29 tells us to take up our yoke and learn from him. And we do this Sabbath by Sabbath, holy day by holy day. God says that in his book that he is gentle and lowly in heart, and that you will find rest for your lives. And he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And we do have a certain amount of peace once God gives us his Spirit, the guarantee that God gives to you and me at baptism, and the laying on of hands that he gives us to receive his Spirit. We find that Joshua the Christ and God the Father and God's prophet and apostle at the end of the sages, who we learn from. And I've lived in this world just like all of you. I cannot imagine leaving God's world and going back into this world. And I find that this burden is light. I have never felt that this was a hard burden to bear. When I view where I have come from just in Satan's world, I find this very easy to bear. And I cannot imagine being any other place other than God's church. No other place upon this face of this earth that I want to be. And I hope you feel the same. And I want to be here and learn about God and God's way of life and about his Son, about Joshua the Christ. And we learn so much. We know so much that Daniel wanted to know. You have so much knowledge. And I hope you continue to fight this fight. But we know that it's not completely over yet. Matthew 13 and verse 10. Let's look at Matthew 13 and verse 10. And it's where Christ was speaking in parables. And the disciples came and asked him, "Why do you do this?" And Christ answered and said to them, "Because it's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them it has not been given." So this is an awesome thing to understand. Because it has only been given to you, not to them, not to this world. And we find out quickly once we are baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. God tells us in this verse that it's given to you. And it's not given to you to them to know these mysteries that you know. It is the great God of this universe that has opened up your mind to his plan, to what he is doing. And now you can look through all the fog and understand these mysteries. Daniel told us about a time when these truths will eventually encompass this whole earth once God's Spirit is here upon this earth. And now the second phase of God's plan will begin. So you and me are here to prepare for that job is ahead for the Church of God, so that we can be prepared for the masses when these mysteries are revealed to them. And now when their minds are opened, they want to know what you know, and they want to know God's truths. So this is what that time is about, that 1,000-year, 100 years. We know what they will do when they begin to realize the truths of God after God opens their minds. They will have to repent and be baptized just like you and me. Remember, God has a plan. God has a pattern just like you and me have. And we understand the process that all of them will have to go through. But it will be a lot easier for them because the God of this age will be changed. He will be put in his prison for 1,000 years. And things will become easier as we move through God's plan. Verse 12 we find, "For whoever has, let's notice, to him more will be given." So there's a lot going to be put upon you as the church of God as we move through God's plan. God says, "Whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, what he has will be taken away." So we can see that there will still be choices that will have to be made. And you will have to want this way of life. We do have choices. God does not force anyone to live his way of life. He offers. That's what he does. That's what he's offered you. You can choose, still choose, not to obey your God. You have that choice. God gave that choice to you. Verse 13. He said, I speak in parables, because seeing they do not see. And we understand this. It's not their time. And hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And we know why. But they will in the near future. And this is a prophecy from Isaiah that Isaiah said. And he said, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their minds, better said, and turn so that I could heal them. So notice what this verse 16 says. Blessed are your eyes, for you see. It's not their time yet. God says, blessed are your eyes, for you see. In other words, you have understanding for what's ahead. And what our God is doing, you have that understanding. You understanding that you are preparing for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. Therefore, your name. That's why you have that name. Preparing for God's kingdom that is coming. And he said, you are blessed because you know those things. Because you have understanding. I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see. And that's more true today than ever. And to hear what you hear. And they did not hear what you hear today. And like I said, Daniel wanted to know. God told him to seal up the book. It was not for him. And so many down through time have asked, how long? How long? So we don't have much longer to ask that very question. How long? It's just on the horizon, brother. So you and me are blessed to understand the purposes of the great God of this universe to bring about His family. That is God's desire. God's desire will be fulfilled. And we are on the doorsteps of this taking place. The first phase of God's desire being fulfilled. We know that Christ is at the right hand of God, as we spoke about earlier, and that He is among those angelic beings that are in the spirit realm. That's where He's at. We know that there are elders around God's throne, spirit beings. And they are there with other spirit beings that God has created. We know that there were three archangels that were created. We understand that one rebelled. But we know that there are two that are still serving their God. And there are many angels, which we know that two-thirds did not rebel. And they are there serving their God to this day. And this is what God's desire is to give you. A life in the spirit realm that He has created. And now when we look through that Hubble telescope at that physical creation of everything that is out there, God will let us know then what His plan is for all those planets and all those stars that are there. We know that when Christ was resurrected, we know that He went to God's throne and back to this earth the same day. He became spirit, and that is what God is offering you. God said to be sons of God, sons and daughters of God. Do become a spirit being in the God family. And God's desire is to give you and me eternal life without any more suffering, without any more pain, without any more drama, only peace forever. God said He would restore peace, and this is that time. Peace that God gave up a long, long time ago. And it would be a tragedy to give up such a great offer from the great God of this universe that God has offered to you.